they could spend half a year covering Schuster County alone. If they had more operatives, he might have sanctioned it, but not with just the two of them. Covering Lalonde's immigrants was a long shot, acting on one piece of dubious information nearly 40 years old, but Latom had bought a copy of the original Ecological Assessment Team's report. Chasing off into the hinterlands was completely out of the question. "No," he said reluctantly. "We'll keep them for when we have a definite scent. But there's a void hawk due from Jospool in a month. I'll ask the captain for a complete survey of Schuster County." "Okay, you're the boss." He sent the mental image of a grin. They had worked together for too long for rank to be anything other than nominal between them. "Thanks for mentioning this," Darcy told Nico Freihigen. "It was useful?" "Could be. We'll certainly show our appreciation." "Thank you," Nico Freihigen smiled thinly and took another gulp of beer. "He is a disgusting oaf," Laurie said.
"We'd be even more grateful if you'd let us know of any more disappearances," Darcy said.
Nico Freihigen cocked his beer tube in his direction. "Do my best." Darcy picked up another registration card. The name Marie Skibbo was printed along the top. An attractive teenage girl smiled rebelliously at him from her hologram. Her parents were in for a few years of hell, he decided. Outside the grimy window, thick grey clouds were massing on the western horizon. The road linking Dunningham to the spaceport was a broad strip of pinkish rock chippings slicing straight through the thick jungle. Father Horst Elwes marched towards the capital as best he could with his swelling feet, rubbing what felt suspiciously like blisters on both heels. He kept a cautionary eye on the clouds accumulating above the gently waving treetops, hoping the rain would hold off until he made it to the transient's dormitory. Thin spars of steam drifted out of the chippings around his feet. The narrow gorge between the trees seemed to act as a lens for the sun, and the heat was awesome. A carpet of bushy grass was besieging the edge of the road. Vegetation on Lalonde certainly was vigorous. Birdsong filled the air, a resonant chittering. That would be the chick crows, he thought, reviewing the didactic memory of local conditions which the church had given him before he left Earth. About the size of a Terran pheasant with bright scarlet plumage, eatable but not recommended, the artificial memory informed him. There wasn't much traffic on the road. Battered lorries, rumbling to and from the spaceport, carrying wooden crates and ancient-looking composite cargo pods, some loaded up with homesteading gear. The spaceport crews riding power bikes with broad, deep-tread tires, tooting their horns as they sped past, the men shouting at the girls. Several horse-drawn carts trundled by. Horst stared with unashamed delight at the big creatures. He'd never visited his arcology zoo back on Earth. How strange that the first time he should meet them was on a planet over 300 light-years from their birth world. And how could they stand the heat with such thick coats? There were 500 members in Group 7, of which he was included. They had all started off down the road in a tightly packed group following the LDC officer, chattering brightly. Now, after a couple of kilometres, they had become well spread out and subdued. Horst was close to the rear. His joints were already creaking in protest, and the need for a drink was rising sharply. Yet the air was so moist. Most of the men had shrugged out of their jumpsuit tops and T-shirts, tying the arms round their waist. So, too, had several of the women. He noticed that all the locals on power bikes were in shorts and thin shirts. So was the LDC officer leading them, come to that. He stopped, surprised by the amount of blood pounding away in his cheeks, and gave the seal catch at his neck a full 90-degree twist. The front of his jumpsuit split open to reveal his thin powder blue T-shirt, stained a shade deeper by sweat. The lightweight, silk-smooth garment might be ideal for shipboard use, and even in an arcology, but for dealing with raw nature it was ridiculous. Somebody must have got their communication channels fouled up. Surely colonists hadn't been arriving dressed like this for 25 years. A little girl, about 10 or 11 years old, was looking up at him. She had that miniature angel's face of all young children, with straight shoulder-length white blonde hair gathered into two ponytails by small red cords.
He was surprised to see she was wearing sturdy, ankle-length hiker boots, along with baggy yellow shorts and a small white cotton top. A wide-brimmed green felt hat was tilted back sharply. Horst found himself smiling down at her automatically.